Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Scanline Media, to Scanline Talks, and to an episode of the returning Games of the Generation. Because this, we used to do, every once in a while, we would do podcasts that were like, hey, what's the best game of the generation? And we didn't do them for a long time. But we're going to do them again every now and then, because it's fun. I'm Six Tedmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
And I'm Alan Ibrahim from Chats and Scanline Media.
And we're here to talk about... Okay, so we said Games of the Generation. This is kind of more games... That's the series name. Like, I went and I checked and I was like, okay, no, historically these have been called Games of the Generation. So, this is just Game of the Platform. Because we're just doing the Nintendo DS.
Dual screens.
So we got a list here. It's currently 23 games. It seems like y'all aren't going to add any more. Do we need to, like, are we going to do like a 1 to 10 in order to list a 1 to 10 and cut everything else? Is that our game plan?
I guess that works, yeah.
I mean, it's that or a bracket, right?
We don't have enough to do a bracket. We'd need 32. Or 16. And I don't, like, in a situation like this, I don't feel comfortable giving buys. Because there aren't any buys on this call.
Not a single one.
Buy erasure. Yeah, so, alright. This list is in the auspicious order of basically as I wrote them down. Mostly as I thought of them. Sometimes, like, I thought of them all at once and I just wrote. Jen, why don't you read the list to the folks?
Okay, so we have 999, 9 hours, 9 doors, 9 persons. Is that the order? Or is it... It'll be fine. Hotel Dusk, Room 215. The Legend of Zelda, Spirit Tracks. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Trials and Tribulations. The World Ends With You, Metroid Prime Hunters, New Super Mario Brothers, Pokemon...
Wait a second.
What?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Pokemon Black, Professor Layton and the Curious Village, Ghost Trick, Phantom Detective. Sorry, the way that people are moving around makes me giggle.
Okay, well, for the folks at home, as Jen is reading them, I'm realizing ways that I fucked up writing the names and I'm correcting them. It is 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors. I did write Professor Layton, Curious Village instead of Professor Layton and the Curious Village. We're doing some editing in real time.
Okay, Elite Beat Agents, Sonic Rush, Trauma Center Under the Knife, Castlevania Portrait of Ruin, Advanced Wars Dual Strike, Tetris DS, Lunar Knights, Rune Factory, A Fantasy Harvest Moon, Metroid Prime Pinball, Star Fox Command, Mega Man CX, Mario Kart DS, and Last Window, The Secret of Cape West.
All right. Now, are there... This is like the last... That's not the last chance. I'm going to say that it's the last chance. Is there anything else, you know, speak now or speak later and I'll get slightly more annoyed at you.
I have two notes.
Yes.
Might Magic Clash of Heroes?
Is that a DS game?
Yeah, it was originally a DS game.
Huh.
I played it on the iPad.
Yeah, I played it on Xbox. That works as something.
And do we really want Spirit Tracks over Phantom Hourglass? I never played Spirit Tracks.
Do you want me to put Phantom Hourglass on this list?
I have more to say about it, certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, one thing I will mention, there's a number of these games that are near and dear to my heart, but I also wasn't the biggest DS gamer, so there are a few blank holes in this list for me right now.
Oh, fuck!
What?
Cooking Mama, what the hell is wrong with me?
What are you doing?
Holy shit. Jeez, I was like, wait, I haven't done the thing where I turn around and look at my DS wall and I immediately saw Cooking Mama. I was like, I'm a fucking asshole. shit.
The three mascots of the DS life cycle. It's Professor Layton, it's Phoenix Wright, and it's Cooking Mama herself.
Wonderful. What does a mama?
I've never played a Cookie Mama game.
Oh, they whip.
Yeah.
In that regards, should we also include Nintendogs or?
Well, Nintendogs sucks.
Is he? I was gonna say, is Nintendogs actually good?
Like, if one of y'all would fight for Nintendogs, I'm happy to hear it. I did not personally enjoy Nintendogs, so I didn't add it.
I'm good without it.
We've got other versions of Pokemon games on the DS. If anyone wants to add one of those. We got other Castlevania games. We've got that other Advance Wars.
No, that's the right Advance Wars, definitely.
Okay. All right.
Coming out the cut. I'm ready to cut some shit.
Okay, I guess we'll do alphabetical order here. We'll go Alan Gen 6.
Yeah.
Alan, what needs to be cut?
Metroid Prime Pinball.
Did you play Metroid Prime Pinball?
I only played like a demo at a Walmart a couple times.
It was fucking cool.
Yeah, what's cool about it?
I mean, it's a well-made pinball game, but like also there are like Metroid enemies, and you get power-ups, and you knock the ball is Samus in morph ball form.
I remember that.
And there are times where you like knock her into the middle of the stage, and then she like stands up, and like it turns into like a turret sequence, and she's like shooting her arm cannon. It probably isn't one of the top 10. I mostly just want to be, you know, there are games on here where I was like, this isn't going to make the top 10, but this deserves a shout out. Metroid Prime Pinball. Nobody talks about it. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Also, came with vibration cart.
Oh, right. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my god. Wasn't there a WarioWare DS game, or was it not a good one? The Game Boy Advance one was a good one.
There were two WarioWare DS games. There was WarioWare,
Touched?
Yeah, WarioWare Touched, and there's WarioWare DIY.
Mm. Oh, okay. WarioWare DIY, that's a great game. We should probably put that one on there, too.
Okay.
I didn't play too much of DIY, because I think by the time I got it, the servers were down.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's the one thing that kind of takes the wind out of my sails for that one, because the best thing about it is that it was my first early example of game development in a accessible format. Like, you just drew some stuff and you gave them simple properties and it was over in like 10 to 20 seconds. It was a nice sort of experience of being like, okay, I have this silly idea, I'll just jot it down and I made it into something in 20 minutes or less.
I remember watching a YouTube video of a WarioWare Touched minigame where you were Chie kicking the tank. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. DIY also had some pretty good minigames, but I feel like that was mostly in terms of here's something we're going to show you so that you can create your own as well.
Hmm. Okay. Jen, it is your turn to, I suppose, if you want to say something needs to be in the top, you can do that. But I think right now we're better served by picking things that probably should be cut and having that conversation.
Okay, that works with me. We should cut Pokemon Black.
Why?
I guess this is more of a personal preference thing than anything. I just found all the DS Pokemon games astoundingly boring. Mm-hmm. Like, the roster wasn't all that for me, and the settings didn't do much. I only really started getting back into Pokemon around the time of X and Y when they introduced PokeFrance and all that.
PokeFrance. Oh, yeah, right. Let me tell you a thing about my friend N. He's cute. He can talk to Pokemon. He's empathetic. He has nice hair. And he is the star of Generation 5 of Pokemon. I totally get wanting to cut this one if you're just like, I found this gen of Pokemon boring. But I found Gen 4 pretty boring and still find it pretty boring going back to it. But Gen 5... holds up because they actually started caring more about the story, and even though they often made some really dumb decisions with the story, like having the villains be like Pokemon should be separate from their owners, just kidding, that's fine, I guess we have to still fight, you know, there's all that in that narrative conflict, but it's still trying for stuff, and it used the DS hardware to the best of its ability. Like, Gen 4 is so rough and, like, awkward because it's trying to, like, squish a whole Pokemon game and add new things with sometimes without reason. And then Gen 5 is this, like, refined, beautiful little thing. So I still really enjoy Gen 5, but, like, I get if it's just, like, this is definitely one of the slower gens, and I get that.
I feel like it's, I would call it one of the better Pokemon generations is Black and White. I think if it were like Diamond, Pearl, or Platinum on here, like that,
yeah.
Go. There's a reason they didn't get added to the list. But I think like Black and White was the generation where they were like, hey, let's do the thing where you will not see a single old Pokemon until you complete the Elite Four. And I think that was really cool for giving it its own sense of place. I do agree that the setting, that Unova, is kind of boring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think the way the game is laid out and the story it's trying to tell, and ultimately fails to tell, but trying to tell. And I think in a lot of ways, it's a really cool gen of Pokemon.
Okay, looking at Ed now, and you're right, he's cute. This can stay for now.
Yay!
Okay, want to propose something else?
I guess I'll take what seems to be the weak link right here and propose we cut New Super Mario Brothers.
Yes!
If I highlight it enough, then I'll finally convey my message.
So I think New Super Mario Brothers is the best 2D Mario.
Okay.
Besides World. I mean, listen, World is unassailable. But yeah. New Super Mario Brothers, it does have the unfortunate legacy of spawning a bunch of games that I don't think are great.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a big fan of Wii or U or U Deluxe or 2. But the original New Super Mario Brothers was after them, like, ignoring the fact that Mario is historically a 2D game for decades, going back and creating, like, a fantastic, like, campaign of a Mario game, short on gimmicks, mostly just like, hey, look, we're going back to fundamentals. The one gimmick it had was the wall jump, which, as everybody knows, is the best gimmick in any platformer. Wall jumps are fucking sick as hell, and if you disagree, you can go to hell.
Wow.
So I think it's just a really tight, fun game. I 100% of that game. I got all the, like, the bonus stuff. I don't remember. I think it was, like, the big coins. I think I got all the big coins in every level. I don't remember. It's been a very long time. But I played the hell out of that game, and I think it's fantastic.
Okay.
My main thing with NSMB was just... Sorry, Jen. Me, personally, I beat that game in a sitting. I was, like, going on a vacation and in the car, and my parents were like, you can get one game. And I just, like, cleared it and then never thought about it again. So it's not a game that stuck in my mind at the time, other than, like, they added the big mushroom, which changed nothing about the gameplay. And then they did add the wall jump, which was, like, a fundamental cool thing that they did for 2D Mario. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I never, like, think about going back to it. But maybe I should give it a re-examination.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can beat, you know, Super Mario World in a sitting pretty easily.
True.
I went back to New Super a lot. You know, people, like, listen, like, the reason we originally did these was we were inspired by, like, Giant Bomb, right? I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And on Giant Bomb, they'll do a thing where they're like, you know, like, I'm sure it won't make the top 10, but I'm not ready to see it go now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's silly. I don't want to waste everyone's time. I would put New Super Mario Brothers in the top 10. If neither of you would, then I think probably it wouldn't make it, so it can go.
Yeah, one of my things with New Super Mario Brothers is also I find that whole style to be completely ugly, and
yeah,
there's something that's I don't know the right way to describe it because calling it a flash game doesn't feel accurate. It just
it's 3D, yeah.
It's just this really flat, uninteresting style of 3D visual to me, and I don't like the music particularly much either.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, just constant
that. I like it.
Oh, okay. I guess it's just a difference in taste then, because I feel like I'm on the same wavelength as Alan in this regard.
I think you've been brainwashed by Jeff Gerstmann, who I generally appreciate, but he's got this thing where it's like, oh, the Koopas dance with the music, and he's like, that's a bad thing. You're an idiot!
I like the dancing.
It's great! And then he's like, oh, it makes it unpredictable, so you don't know when they're gonna dance. That just makes it a fucking rhythm element. Unpredictable. You know, music. No one can ever guess when a beat's gonna happen in music. Sorry. I got that off my chest. New Super Mario Brothers can go. It's a great game, though.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's saying that the games here are bad.
My other thing is like...
Well,
is this...
there's some games.
Yes. But... my other thing is that this list has the potential to be like a discussion about what made the DS good. And, you know, New Super Mario Brothers is just a good Mario game, I guess. But I don't like know what makes it a good DS game. Maybe that's a different discussion.
It was fun to be able to do Mario on the go, but yeah, I know that's more of a, like, that would make it a good Switch game, not really a DS game. That it didn't really use the dual screen very well.
You got really big
when you got that mega mushroom, though.
You're very big. But it's like you use it three times in the whole game.
Alan, think about how big they could step on you.
Whoa, wait, hold on.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn to propose a cut. And I'm proposing Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass.
Okay.
That game is bad, actually.
Yeah? Is it? Why?
Yeah. Because it's just like, it has some cool things in it. It's not like, it's not terrible, but it's like one of its main things is like, every time you finish a dungeon, you'll go back to the same dungeon and do it again. So you do the same dungeon, like, I don't know, like 10 times, which is super annoying.
Oh, right. You progress through the big dungeon. Oh, I forgot about that.
And it kind of just doesn't have a gimmick. It's just like we put Zelda on the DS and we're imitating the Wind Waker art style. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it feels very much like a direct to VHS Zelda.
But there's the part where you stamp the DS closed. I just remember the Phantom Hourglass having really cool use of like the touchscreen and using your weapons in touchscreen ways. Like, yeah, the riding around on the boat was like slow and plodding and annoying, but you know, it had good Zelda puzzles, like multi-room spanning puzzles that were really complex and complicated, like within a single dungeon. Like, the dungeons in that game are very good.
I mean, for that, I'm going to give the shout to Spirit Tracks over Phantom Hourglass.
Okay. Well, I haven't played Spirit Tracks, so you'd have to sell me on that.
Okay. I'll do that when we get there.
Okay.
For now, let's cut this friend.
Do I get to cut
Alan,
you
cut again. Yes, you do.
Yes. Oh, God. What is Last Window, The Secret of Cape West?
It's the sequel to Hotel Dusk.
Okay. Why is it good?
Is this another? It's okay. Did you play Hotel Dusk?
No.
Okay. I guess it's kind of hard to have a conversation about it with having a conversation about Hotel Dusk. Hotel Dusk is a game where you play as Kyle Hyde, who is a traveling salesman who is a former NYPD detective who quit the force after his partner disappeared in a shooting involving him shooting his partner. And he's sort of chasing answers. In Hotel Dusk, he gets a lot of those answers. But he's kind of made a mess of his life. And Hotel Dusk is sort of the moment where he starts to turn it back around a little bit and get his shit together. The Last Window, Secret of Cape West, is a story about him going home to L.A., and being like, well, finally, I've got my shit together. And it's like, well, great news, bud. Just because you suddenly have your shit together now doesn't mean that the rest of your life is now magically working. The apartment building where you live is going to be demolished. You have like 3 days to find a new place to live. And he's like, oh, shit. So you are like going to the other residents who are all your neighbors who you fucking never spoken to because you were a dickhead. And you're figuring out that there's more going on with this building. You're learning stuff about your dad and he used to be a safe cracker. And it really, I think Hotel Dusk is a really great simple little story. Last Window adds a lot more complexity and adds a lot more to, like, it feels like a more grounded story about sort of the messiness of everyday life rather than the supernaturalness. Not supernaturalist, but the extraordinariness of Hotel Dusk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mostly agree with that. I also think that it does end up copying a lot of the same plot beats as Hotel Dusk. Like, the mystery you're uncovering in your apartment building is still tied around, oh, hey, here's a bunch of secret rooms you never knew about that happen to involve organized crime. And also, here's this real shithead brat who's going to be coming in and getting you into trouble because it works better for him that way. But, yeah, overall, I do think it's an improvement over Hotel Dusk. And one of the key improvements in my mind is that they finally made it so that you're not supposed to press every statement. Because in Hotel Dusk, the whole thing was anytime you get a prompt that you can press someone for something, you go ahead and do that. In Last Window, there are times when if you end up looking into something or you end up paying attention to something, like showing someone that you're paying attention, it can go real badly for you. And I appreciate the fact that Last Window ended up adding a mechanic, so it's not like, okay, no, you don't just hit everything that appears on screen, because that'll just get you into trouble.
Yeah, I think ultimately probably we give it to Hotel Dusk just for being the newer, like the first one, and also being the one that people have more of an experience with.
Yeah.
But I think Last Window is a great game. And it's a real bummer that the studio shut down before they could bring it to the US.
Yeah. I ended up playing it by importing a copy from Europe.
Mm-hmm. It's the same argument for like why I wouldn't want to include Black 2 and White 2 of Pokemon, because it's like those are better games, but they don't, like, they're not doing the special thing that Gen 5 started by doing, you know? They are in conversation with the games that come before them. And so I think the games that come before them are important. So that's why I would be okay keeping Hotel Dusk.
I would, if Black 2 or White 2 were on here, I would cut them in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But
right. That too. There's no fighting with you sometimes. If we're going to have a conversation, it's going to be how long until I can prove six right.
I feel I have a lot of give sometimes, mm-hmm. but you know, I'm also a person of firmly held opinions at times, and Black 2 and White 2 are some of the most unfriendly Nintendo games I've ever played.
that's so valid. God, that's so valid.
All right, Jen, it is your cut.
Okay, let me see. So, trying to think of something that would, I've never even heard a single thing about Lunar Nights, so I'd like to hear a bit more about Lunar Nights.
You know Boktai?
Yes. No,
you don't know Boktai. Okay.
Solar Boy Jango?
Yeah, it's the one, yes, with Hideo Kojima where you use the solar rays to charge up, right?
So this is the sequel to that. You don't use solar rays here because they couldn't put a solar sensor in the DS cart because it tucks entirely inside the console. So that's not how it works. But this is an isometric action RPG, okay, where you are playing as a solar boy who uses a variety of solar-powered weapons. They're all guns, but it's like at first you're like, oh, I've got a solar pistol, and then you're like, hey, I've got double solar pistols, and you're like, I've got a solar shotgun. Okay, this is getting cool.
Oh, sure.
And then a dark boy who is like a vampire who uses darkness to fuel like a scythe that turns into like a triple bladed scythe, or like a lance that turns into a drill. And you fight shit and it's fun.
The art style looks very silly.
It's very much an anime game of that generation. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's not going to hang. It's good, but you know.
This is one of the coolest things about the DS, is that they have all these weird, like, wow, that game just existed. Like, people played that. What? Uh-huh. Anyone's heard of that? So.
God, I need to work out how to play some of these older games later, because Moon Vampire sounds right up my alley.
And the cover art has cats and flowers and spaceships and big guns and big hair. Can't lose. But it
big
does
gun,
lose
big
this.
Hair can't lose.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So here's the funny thing, is a lot of these are going to be cases of me cutting things that I added.
Uh-huh.
Because basically I made this list and y'all didn't offer very much help.
Sorry about that.
It's cool. I've probably played more DS games than you. Trauma Center Under the Knife is super cool. It gets, like, broken hard in ways that are not fun.
That was always the thing that turned me away from Trauma Center games. It's like, the story seems wacky and interesting and funny. And then the gameplay in theory is, like, really cool. And then they always have these, like, crazy bananas difficulty spikes.
Well, so you should play, if you can get your hands on it, you should play Trauma Team.
Okay.
On the Wii.
Uh-huh.
That one doesn't do that, and that one's just really good. Also, it has a really neat thing where it's basically, like, you're playing as, like, I think it's, like, six different medical professionals, and each one of them has a different type of work, where, like, one of them's like, diagnostician, so you play it like a detective game where you're just trying to figure out what their illness is. One of them's a surgeon, so you do surgeries. One of them's, like, an EMT, so you do, like, on-the-scene emergency stuff. It's really cool. But the thing that sinks any Trauma Center game, except for, again, Trauma Team, is where they're like, oh no, and here's the, like, terrorist group genetically engineering super viruses that are hard to operate on because they fight back.
Yeah.
It's like, here's like, oh, the virus is a tiny shark inside them and it will bite the tip off your scalpel. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what are we doing right now?
Like, that does sound sick. It's the part where it's really hard and you just keep dying and restarting. That sucks.
Yeah.
But, like, shark virus, good. Brutally hard, not good.
Yeah, it just, it's kind of funny, but also, yeah, at a certain point, you just get really fed up with, like, oh, here's a virus that just, anytime you try to do anything, it just causes, like, 70 tumors.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, cool.
Silly anecdote about Trauma Center. It came out around the same time as Phoenix Wright, and because I was just a little kid who didn't really know anything, I thought it was made by the same people. I was like, oh, okay, so the people who did that lawyer game also did this hospital game. That's cool.
I like the Phoenix Wright Professor Layton Trauma Team multiverse, where the doctor from Trauma Team is going to end up on the fucking court, and it's going to be up to Layton to prove him wrong, to defend him.
I like the Wii version of Trauma Center where they add another character who's like a witch lady.
Yep.
Who's a surgeon.
Yep.
Because then you could call it Trauma Center Under the Wife.
I'm not even going to give you that one. I'm not going to give you that one.
That was good. Mm-hmm. I did a good job. Okay. All right, Alan, it's your turn.
I would like to cut Star Fox Command.
Why?
I played a lot of Star Fox Command actually back in the day, because the idea of having a portable Star Fox was so awesome to me. And yeah, the main complaint at the time was, like, it's not real Star Fox because all of the missions are timed, like, 60-second, oh, like, just big square map that you fly around and blow up the things and get the bombs. But the tactical layer was, like, really shallow. And I don't remember anything about the story, other than that there was, like, a lot of weird endings. So there just isn't a lot, other than it's like, wow, they tried to make, like, a more strategic Star Fox. Because even the first Star Fox obviously had that, like, big map where you made your choices of where to go and stuff. But Command brought it down to a different layer. And, like, within a mission, it was like you are drawing a path for your ships to go on. And then if they run into enemies, you do a little fight. So it almost brought, it's like a Fire Emblem-y almost, where you're going around a map getting into fights until you get to the other side.
Well, it's a realization of Star Fox 2.
True, right? Because that was something that they were trying to do in 2, I think?
Yeah. It's like Star Fox, if you play Star Fox 2, it's actually, you actually get some really strong Star Fox Command vibes in the gameplay. It's just that it's clearly underbaked, and Command is them actually realizing those ideas. The other thing about Command is that it's a a huge, like, visual novel, like, fucking daytime television soap opera?
Yeah.
With, like, a ton of endings, including ones where, like, Fox retires and becomes an F-Zero racer.
Yep. Like, literally puts on the outfit, yeah.
Or, like, Crystal joins Star Wolf, and, like, there's some fucking shit. The game kind of goes for it. It's honestly the most, like, I was surprised by the tone.
Yeah.
Because it's so soap opera. Like, it is not like, oh, you accidentally made a soap opera. They are going all the way into soap opera where they're talking about, like, I left because you didn't love me enough. It's like they're going so hard in that direction that it's kind of incredible.
It sounds amazing.
The endings kind of sell it for me, but like I just really did not like playing this game at all.
That's fair. I had a decent time with it, but it's a very messy game.
Mm-hmm. But great effort. I don't know. And it's like, well, the thing is they realized they couldn't make a long game with this system, so like every playthrough is like 2 hours, if I remember correctly. Like there's only like five or six planets.
Yeah,
and eventually you just hit all of them, and then you get an ending. So it was just like about collecting endings at some point.
But also, everybody had different ships that performed differently.
That's true. That's very true. And more Crystal, please. We need more Star Fox games featuring Crystal.
That structure actually kind of reminds me of Sky Gunner, which I've been playing on PS2 recently. That's a pretty cool game, but it's pretty similar in terms of okay, so there's three different characters you can play as, and each one, you take like a couple of hours to defeat their path, and then you move on to the next one.
Huh.
I love defeating people's paths.
All right, well, I just watched a Star Fox Command ending where Slippy's wife, Amanda, confesses her love to him. She says, I think my heart will burst, and then they leave Star Fox and get married. So,
It's still gotta go, but Listen, it's a top 10, and the DS was a great system.
That's absolutely true. These are all relatively good games. At the very least, if you're interested, just look up the endings to Star Fox Command and have a good time.
Yeah. Have like, look up the ending where, like, Star Fox is just, like, drunk in a bar. Which I think, actually, there was another Nintendo game that made that ending canon.
What?
The ending where Crystal leaves him to join Star Wolf and he goes and becomes an alcoholic is I think is made canon by one of the other games. I don't remember which. I'd have to do my homework. But Jen, it's your cut.
Okay, so since Six has been so nice cutting their own choices, I'm torn between two that are both very good versions of that style of game. But probably don't hang with these other ones just because there are more original things around us. I think we could probably cut Mario Kart DS.
Yeah, weirdly, going back to Mario Kart DS and like thinking about what it did differently, being the first one with online races was cool, except for the fact that Mario Kart DS also was the first game to feature snaking, which broke the online play completely in half.
Yeah, the online play of Mario Kart DS was actually not fun.
Snaking, for people who don't know, is back when you drifted and you didn't just wait for the sparks to fill. You had to move the stick left and right really fast, and people would just move it so fast that they could get full boost and go basically straight, constantly boosting without having to turn, which was the only way to play that game and the only way to compete, and completely broke any competitive play. And they never fixed it because it was a DS game.
Yeah, it's a shame because I think that game is pretty excellent on its own. Like, the course selection's great.
Yes.
The way it feels is great. It runs a decent frame rate. It's a good version of Mario Kart. But a lot of those good levels also made their way over to later versions. I feel like Mario Kart 8 is probably the best version, and it has several of those really good DS levels, so.
I think it suffers for... I never like controlling Mario Kart with a D-pad.
Yeah, that's fair.
I never think it feels good. So that is one of the... That gets in its way, in my opinion. But
that's fair, yeah. Racing games do feel better.
No, it did not have course creation. It felt like it did.
Have what?
Course creation.
Like making levels.
Oh, no. No.
But it did have like a robust battle mode. Like it had all of the stuff that makes a good Mario Kart via the DS, and had like good courses and like an interesting art style. Because they did the like, your characters are 3D, but everything you look at is a 2D image, which is like kind of cool and uses the resources of the DS well. And the classic like blowing up the the thing with the blowing up the balloons in battle mode is I still blow up think I can do that in every other Mario Kart. It's like broken battle mode for me, but yeah, otherwise it doesn't really hang. You can play whatever the most recent Mario Kart is, often just the best one. They kind of linearly improve.
Yeah.
Except for Wii.
Except for Wii.
Yeah, and it's weird because DS was the first time I realized Mario Kart is such a force of nature that, unlike other DS games, which sort of like the original Phoenix Wright, how it initially disappeared because there were so few copies, you could go into a GameStop for years after its release and still find Mario Kart DS being sold as a new copy, because those games just sell forever.
Right. Mm-hmm. They don't stop selling.
So it's my cut, and I am, with regret, I'm cutting Metroid Prime Hunters.
Oh, damn.
Okay. I get it.
I mean, I thought the multiplayer was fun. I don't think it was very well balanced.
No, God, no.
but it was like, you know, it's like, holy shit, I'm playing a first-person shooter that controls pretty well on my fucking DS. I played a bunch of that game hanging around the house, but the single player was terrible. And the multiplayer was kind of a mess, and it was mostly just the novelty, I think.
Yeah.
The one thing I really liked about Metroid Prime Hunters single player is that because the DS didn't have a lot it could do in terms of like environment detail, it felt very solitary and quiet in the way that Metroid like is really supposed to. Like, it actually nailed that through the limitation of the DS, but it's a very like repetitive single player, and the idea of like constant 1v1 boss fights in a Metroid game is like super not what I'm looking for. Just these, and then like timed, like getting back to the, like the whole like get to the end of a mission and then turn around and get back to your ship, but also fight the boss, be within a time limit. Like, that stuff sucks.
Yeah,
that's the ambition that did not work in their favor, you know. But again, I was the person that would constantly make bots in multiplayer and play as the sniper on the lava map and just snipe all the bots, because that's the kind of kid that I was.
Nice.
Oh, I played the like the true multiplayer, and I played the dude who pops his torso off and it becomes a turret.
Hell yeah!
And I lost all the time.
Oh no,
because he's not very good. It was very fun.
The things you're saying about that remind me of Resident Evil Deadly Silence, which I didn't put on this list because
bad.
Yeah, it's like it's cool that they fit the entirety of Resident Evil 1 on a little cartridge after that game used to be a disc based affair on PlayStation 1. But it's like, even if you had fondness for that, you have to keep in mind that Resident Evil for the GameCube is now on every single device ever, and that's the best version of Resident Evil. And yeah, it's adding touch controls to slice the zombies when it's a very button-based affair. Otherwise, it adds another level of control. It adds another level of control obfuscation in a game that's legendary for being hard to control.
Right, yeah. A lot of these DS games, like, especially like that Resident Evil game and Metroid Prime Hunters, will forever go down as like very early DS games where they were like, touch screen? The main menu of Metroid Prime Hunters is the top half of Samus's torso and the bottom half of her torso, but it never like links up right, so it just looks broken constantly.
Yeah, and Deadly Silence's thing is, oh, get it? Because Resident Evil DS, Deadly Silence?
Oh, they did that a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, they did that
a
lot.
Oh, yeah. There were a bunch of those. Alan, it's back to you again.
Oh, frick. I want to cut The World Ends With You. No, I don't. That's unfair. I will lose this fight.
Yeah, I tensed up so hard.
I know. Sorry. We're getting into a little bit of a tougher fight. Mostly because a lot of these I just haven't played.
I mean, well, then get me to talk about something you haven't played.
Tell me about Sonic Rush.
Sonic Rush is the best Sonic game.
Whoa! What?
Dark Brotherhood is right there.
It's not... I'll be honest, I am one of the people who thinks that's not much of a fucking competition.
Oofa.
But that's because I have high standards. It's not because I have bad taste. Sonic Rush is a 2D game where you uses the two screens. Okay, so, I mean, first off, it has, like, the thing where you hold, you build up a meter, and then when you hold it down, you do, like, a super run so you can charge through stuff. Which is, like, a useful solution to the classic Sonic momentum problem of, like, oh, I'm running so fast, and then suddenly there's enemy, and I don't have time to jump.
Mm-hmm.
You just quickly tap Y, and you get, like, a mock cone around yourself for a second, and it destroys the enemy, but it burns some of your meter, so yeah. It's a resource. It has really great, like, fast, fun action. Like, you, there are sequences where, like, you run on water, and that's purely based on how fast you're going. If you slow down, you also fall into the water, so that's, like, a mechanical thing. It does cool stuff where it's like you are occasionally you'll run between the screens, like you'll be running on the bottom screen and you'll run up and it will scroll up and up and up, and then you'll run too far and you'll outpace the screen.
I've seen that.
The top screen.
That's cool. Also Blaze the Cat.
It does have Blaze the Cat. It's a very good Sonic game. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's one I've been meaning to play for a long time because it's cool that they managed to, within that specific period of time, take some lessons they learned from the 3D Sonic games and apply them into more of the classic format. And it's a shame that... I feel like it's a good example of how more limited hardware was a good thing for handheld games, because it meant they weren't being like, okay, let's take this 3D Sonic experience and just put it onto a handheld, and we're just going to make it look a little bit worse and run a little bit worse. It's like, okay, we have to rethink how this looks and how this will play. And, everything I've seen about that game makes me really want to play it.
That said, top 10? There are some killers on here. I could see it not making the top 10. If you want to cut it.
Yeah. In terms of, like, platformers, then, is it, like, if we want to make our top 10 a good amuse-bouche, is it Mario Brothers or is it Sonic Rush?
You already cut Mario Brothers.
Well, then it must be Sonic Rush, right? That's our 2D
platform. Also, I meant to put a game on here.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Mario and Luigi.
Oh, yeah.
Bowser's Inside Story. So sorry, what'd you say? Are we cutting Sonic Rush or no?
I can't answer that. If you're willing to really say that game uses the hardware well, then I'm fine keeping it. But our list is already very meaty, and we're not cutting enough. So
we can cut it.
Yeah. Okay.
Play Sonic Rush; it's really good.
I'd love to.
But even the best Sonic game is not a top 10 of any platform.
Wow.
Boo.
Okay, you know what? Probably Sonic is top 10 on the Genesis, because, boy, the Genesis is a fucking train wreck. Jen, you're cut. You can't cut me. That's not allowed.
Funny, because I was tempted just now. let's see. Let's do one where I feel like I'm going to get some pushback from both of my co-hosts here, and, let's try. Yeah, I think Alan was thinking where I was thinking. Let's think about Rune Factory, a fantasy Harvest Moon.
Rune Factory is good. We should cut it.
Oh, okay.
I like Harvest Moon and I like Animal Crossing. I don't like what Rune Factory added to those games. I do like structure. I'm usually the motherfucker that loves... Sorry, go ahead, Six.
No, go ahead.
I usually like structure, and them adding, like, what is it? I guess they added, like, combat and sort of more questing to... To Harvest Moon with Rune Factory? Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an okay idea.
I think it's not until, like, I think the Rune Factory series is, like fun and, like, all right. It's with 4 that I really think the series came into its own. 4 is a fantastic game. 4 is on the 3DS, so doesn't qualify. I mostly just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Rune Factory.
That's fair.
Oh, God, it's already me again?
Sorry.
All right. You know what game I really wish was better?
What?
Mega Man ZX.
I've always heard about the Zero games. Is this one of the Zero games?
No.
Okay. What's this? What's the deal with this one?
This one is like you're playing as like a boy or a girl. maybe you could. Girl. Can you only pick your gender in the second one in ZX Advent? I don't remember. Girl. But you're playing as just like a regular kid. And then someone's like, you get caught up in shit, and they're like, here, take this this mega metal. And it's basically you turn into, you can turn into, like, Sentai style, you can turn into, like, a mega man. And you fight, and as you beat bosses, you unlock their mega man suits. And it's kind of a really, it's, like, fun and neat and really badly tuned.
Is this one of the ones that's going to be in the pack, though? Because I believe this is a sequel or, like, a...
Yes, the pack is, I think it's ZX, ZX Advent, and then 0, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like all that is getting included in that specific pack. Like, this entire period of Mega Man is... Well, even back then, I wasn't super following Mega Man games, but I completely missed the 0 games, the ZX games, the Battle Network games, all of them. So,
oh my God,
I can't weigh into any of them.
It's extremely an identity crisis phase for Mega Man in a way that I think was useful because I think some cool ideas came out of it, but they didn't really know what they were going for.
I just remembered that Battle Network 5 came out for the DS, but I wouldn't be a mark for it just because that is probably... That's the point where they kind of were just shuffling ideas around in a deck with the Battle Network series. Like, it's not as pure as the GBA ones, which are my favorites, but anyways.
I appreciate you being, you know, fair about that.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, go ahead.
I've never been an Advance War person. Advance Wars.
Okay.
So I would say Cut Dual Strike.
It's one of the 10 best games.
Woofa. What's Advance Wars. Is it just Military Fire Emblem?
No, I mean, I think that, like, you know, they're by the same developer and it shows, but Advance Wars is more, like, you produce units. The units themselves don't have personality. It's generals that have personalities. I think there's a really fun, like, lighthearted tone, you know, like, the Advance Wars tone is like, war is fun, which sounds really grim when you say it like this, but it's like, no, it's actually it's like fun and playful. The characters are enjoyable, and Dual Strike is the best one because the level design is fantastic. It gets kind of mean, but it's like really interesting. They add a bunch of like fun mechanics, like they add basically like unbreakable, you could think of them as like train tracks. And then you can like build units that go along trains that are like are the train tracks that are insanely powerful, but obviously very limited in what they can move along. And like the main thing is like they added dual strikes, which is it's always been you have one CO. In Advance Wars Dual Strike, you have two COs, you have two commanding officers who have their own powers, and if you play your cards right, you can combo their like their general abilities so that every once in a while you get to take two turns back to back, and it's really fucked up.
Oh, I dig that.
It is the Advance Wars game to play. It kicks ass. It is one of the 10 best games on the DS.
Wacky Fire Emblem with military cute aesthetic, I guess. Is all right with me.
It's trying to think. It's better than Fire Emblem Awakening. I don't think it's better than Three Houses, but it is better than any other Fire Emblem.
Huh. Okay.
I've countered my steal.
Yeah, you get to go again. You get like this is a three strike system.
So worried. Wow. Is Cooking Mama in the top 10 DS games?
No. We have to pay respect. We have to pay our tribute to the mother.
I'm begging you not to shake the baby, by the way.
So Cooking Mama is a great series. Uh-huh. It's a terrible series. Cooking Mama 1 and 2, really good. Cooking Mama 3, okay. And then it's like guarding mama, babysitting mama, and you're like, guys, you need to fucking calm down.
Yeah, and there's like a there's a free to play phone one that's got like really abusive mechanics. Like,
oh yeah, that one's I wanted to like it, but it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Cooking Mama, you should play Cooking Mama, maybe Cooking Mama 2 if you like. It's basically just like a collection of really fun little mini games to make a recipe. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Definitely.
It's like, oh, you gotta chop the lettuce, so you gotta grate the daikon. Oh, you know, oh, and then wonderful, but it's a mama, and you made a great dish.
Is she German?
She's yeah, she's a Japanese person pretending to not be Japanese and doing a bad job.
Got it. Great.
Yeah, that's the one thing that always made me kind of feel weird about the game from the outset. Like, I couldn't tell whether the accent that was going on was. I couldn't get a read on what they were going on, so I wasn't sure whether that was a good or a bad thing.
I think it's fun and cute. I don't think they're doing an accent. I think it's a person with an accent who is not aware of their accent.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense in that case, yeah.
And I think that's cute.
Yeah.
It is your pick, Jen.
Okay. Let's see. There's so many things here that are good, and I feel weird about starting fights about. I'm going to try one, and if everyone is going to push back on it, that's okay with me.
Okay.
Elite Beat Agents.
It had to happen eventually, right, Six? It had to happen.
We did have to have the conversation, at least.
I'm sad. Because Elite Beat Agents is really special. It's really charming, and it blends story with rhythm gameplay in a way that a lot of games don't.
It's the best rhythm game.
It's definitely my favorite rhythm game. I don't really have any criticisms of it. It's like a little. It's not even that short. Like, for a rhythm game, it's like pretty meaty.
My only criticism of it is that the last level's difficulty spike is fucked up.
Yes, that's true. But it's like, yeah, and but it's like satisfying and also, when you finally do it.
And also, I will criticize that some of Japan doesn't think very highly of the United States. because if you were to look at Oendon and then look at Elite Beat Agents, a lot of the stories are like I want to be a millionaire. I want to have lots of ladies. And you're like, okay, all right. A lot of the stories are you helping shitty people be shitty because that's what Americans are like, and I don't know that I love that.
But then some of the stories are like, my dad works too much and I want him to come home for Christmas, and then you cry because you are the inspiration. You are the meaning in my life.
But he's dead. He's dead.
Come back from heaven, Dad. And then if you fail one of the missions, he's like flirting with an angel in heaven.
What?
At every checkpoint in Elite Beat Agents, the story changes based on whether or not you did well enough, like you pass the threshold. And you have to pass all, like at least two of three of them to beat the level. But when one of the ones in that level that you fail, it's like the girl praying to bring her dad back to life for Christmas. And then there's one where it's just like, we're remembering all the good memories of my dad. And if you nail it, it's like, he was such a helpful father. And the other one is like, he saw the mom, and then behind her was like a really sexy angel waving. And he's like, hey, how you doing? It's like, no, Dad! It's very cheeky, but yeah.
You bet, kid! If you feel strongly, Jen, there are some real fighters. And I can't, you know, I can't push everything back. But I think Elite Beat Agents is really good.
Okay, I'm fine keeping that for now. Just trying to think of anything else, because... Okay, let's try Might and Magic Clash of Heroes.
Sure, cut it. I just like this game a lot. I think it's really clever and has one of the best loops of any game that I've played. Like, yeah. the upgrade, getting new units, the story, and all the different campaigns. Like, it's meaty as hell and very fun.
Yeah, I think it's a decent time. Like, I played a bit of it on my Xbox. It's one of Cappy Games' earlier games, and they did a fairly good job with it. But It's one of those that I don't really think of as a DS game just because it's been re-released so many different times and on various platforms.
And I think the art style changed too. Like Clash of Heroes on DS is like more simple, almost pixely, and then they gave it the like Cappy Games art style after that in every future release, so it's almost a different release entirely, but it was originally, I think, on the DS, so just worth shouting out as like, damn, this game is really cool. Maybe make another version of this somewhere. Yeah. Oh man, is Puzzle Quest a DS game?
I always saw it as a PSP game, but I think it also came out on DS as well.
Yeah, I mean, we could put it on this list, but I think I don't think it would make it.
It wouldn't make it.
On PSP, it might. it's my turn. I don't think Phoenix Wright makes it.
Wow. What?
Wow.
The thing to remember about all Phoenix Wright games is you remember all of the first case is so great, and you're like, oh, the last case is so great. And then there are the cases in the middle.
Yeah, there's a lot of fluff. There's a lot of just, like, frustrating fluff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's true, and the way that they handle backtracking and stuff can be pretty infuriating. Like, there's a lot of cases where you're bouncing back and forth just hoping to unlock the new interaction that allow you to press forward, or knowing the clue that you need but not being able to get it until the plot reaches a specific point where it's like, oh, okay, I guess you can look at this thing that you've been wanting to look at for some time.
The thing that's pushing me over the edge here is I'm looking at Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations, and I'm looking at Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, and I would absolutely take Ghost Trick.
Same.
Yeah, like, I definitely need to go back and finish Ghost Trick at some point, but Ghost Trick has such a good personality to it, and the way that it structures its puzzles is fantastic. So, mm-hmm. I definitely...
The ending, like, reveals in Ghost Trick are so good. It, like, and it's not, like, they are, like, shocking, but it's not, like... is not the same as, I don't know, it's not like a Metal Gear Solid thing. It's like, you realize that in a way the stakes were lower than you realized, and that's fine. In a way that's so beautiful. Oh, what a good game.
Oh, I did love the various enemy designs, like when you're in that room with the whole military commander, and they have this, they're dressed basically like this weird sort of World War I Franz Ferdinand era Germans, and they're, one of them's constantly popping grapes into his mouth, and you mess around with the grapes. It's a good time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also Missile, which is...
bless Missile.
Yeah, one of the best jokey side characters I've seen in a game like that, just because the way that they capture a dog's enthusiasm is one of the most accurate and least annoying methods ever. Like, just yelling in all caps in a very entertaining way.
You're like, Missile, I need you to do this. And Missile's like, you need me to do this. Yeah!
Hell yeah!
And also, just the puzzles are all really fun. Some of them are a little too hard, but like, unlike Ace Attorney, where there are times when you get really ground down by how annoying a certain puzzle solution is, Ghost Trick's just fun.
Yes.
So I think we cut Ace Attorney. Are we good for this?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, I guess. It's one of those things where I definitely feel like people can play those games now pretty easily on Switch and everything like that, and they probably should, but... yeah, if it's between Ghost Trick and Phoenix Wright, then I'd take Ghost Trick first.
Okay. Alan?
I think I would like to cut 999 from this list.
Oh, okay.
I know. No, I know. I am with you that the plot twist of that game is excellent, and the reveal is excellent, and some of the writing is good. I think there's a lot of that game that we forget about where it's just like, you spend so much of it learning about the mystery and trying to get a basic understanding, and then by the time you have a feel for it, the game is just over. Like, it's paced a lot weird, pretty weirdly, and I mostly felt that because I played the iPad version, which doesn't have the puzzles, so I like beat that game in 2 or 3 days and just devoured it like a novel. But it, I think it would, it maybe as a DS game, if you have an argument that like the puzzles make the game a lot better, but I never, like, from the ones that I looked up, the puzzles didn't even look that interesting.
I think the puzzles do help it. I think the game is better with the puzzles. Uh-huh. And some are stronger than others. But like, I do think like part of the reason I like 999 is because I resent what the series became.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you know that.
Oh, I know. It's just funny to see that you're so much like, okay, I hate these other games so much more that it makes the first one a bit better.
It's nice to remember when this series had a sense. But even then, like, some of the stuff that the stuff that I really hated in future games isn't here. But some of the stuff that really annoyed me is here. Like, it's easy to forget that there's a large segment of the game dedicated to talking about what if you had a form of ice that didn't melt, and it doesn't fucking matter.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's completely irrelevant to everything.
The ice thing.
Like, why is this here?
It's mostly there to set up a weird mystery that actually never goes answered in the rest of the series, which is whether...
Nope.
Which is what?
Well, that whole thing at the ending where suddenly that woman wearing Egyptian clothes is hitchhiking and stuff like that. And then mm-hmm. I think later on in 2, you find out that... they never actually answer that, I think, whether that was actually the character that was talked about in that anecdote in the first game or not.
Well, they don't, but they do establish that she's a person who's been living in the real world for a while. So she's not probably some thawed out pharaoh. Like, it's just...
Also, has any, like, thriller mystery game used the concept of face blindness successfully and not in a way that felt forced and, like, we just wanted to add a secret mystery? I don't think so. That was the other thing that I remember being like, really? Face blindness? Really? We're doing that too?
I felt like it worked rather well in this context, just because when you're finally confronting the person who you find out about that stuff, uh-huh. just hearing him lose his mind over it is mm-hmm. pretty fantastic. Just in terms of him realizing how much he's fucked up by doing one particular thing. And I'll also say, this is one of the few games where I feel like the format makes it to the point where, like, the DS version is both the best game, the best version, and the worst version. It's the worst version in terms of if you do in order to get to the other routes, you do have to replay the puzzles.
Yeah.
It's the best one in terms of
the device. Twist makes fucking sense.
The very device you're playing it on is part of the story. The thing they reveal with what's going on, what was happening on both screens is genius. It is one of the few moments when I played a game it's not only about the structure of visual novels itself, but it's also about how you can use the way that you're telling it in an inventive way. And mm-hmm. that version will always be near and dear to my heart for that reason. Mm-hmm.
And I would give it points just for being the only, it's the only game in this franchise that uses its hardware in that specific cool way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So like I would,
because after this they start to be on multiple platforms.
Exactly, they can't do that. So I would give it points for that, but I still don't know if this makes top 10. There's a lot of fighters in here.
I could see it not making top 10.
I would be personally. Okay cutting Spirit Tracks over 999, to be honest with you.
Same.
Or both. Six, what do you think?
So Spirit Tracks, it has a lot of the stuff you like about Phantom Hourglass. Good. It doesn't have the repeating dungeon. Okay. It has great personality. You're a fucking little train conductor.
Yay.
And you give people rides on your train. You go choo-choo. It has... I am going to very briefly subject y'all to... make sure you have Groovy turned, you know, to a reasonable level.
You're going to groove us? Ooh.
The soundtrack of Spirit Tracks kicks ass.
Yeah.
And also, hey, guess what? Zelda fucking matters.
Oh, right.
Zelda's with you the entire game. The first thing that happens is she gets kicked out of her body and she's a ghost. And then she's with you and she is your like your Navi, but also she like can possess suits of armor and do shit. And that's great. She's actually a character in this one. I think Spirit Tracks is really good. I could see cutting both of these. But honestly, at that point, I start looking at the rest of the list and I see what I'm cutting them for. And I'm like, really?
I guess I'm fine leaving Spirit Tracks for now and cutting 999. It is one of my favorite games of all time, but I'm just as happy playing it anywhere, even if I do think that some of the DS touches are great. Like
the touches?
Indeed. Like, I played a bit of the PC/PS4 version, and that has its own merits, too. Like, the voice acting they add is pretty great, but,
You know, we can cut Spirit Tracks, too. I'm thinking a little more about it, and there are parts of the mid-game of Spirit Tracks that are a real fucking grind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, valid. We can go. I think we need 3 more cuts, and we'll have 10.
Whose turn is it now?
We have 11 right now? Do I know how to count?
Oh, do we have 11, actually?
Double count.
Yeah, we have 11.
Shit.
Oh, God.
Okay, I can... Let's cut WarioWare DIY and fucking get to work.
Okay.
Are we really doing that over Tetris DS?
Over. Listen, you want to cut Tetris DS, I'm here for that too.
I'm okay cutting Tetris DS before cutting WarioWare DIY.
Okay, let's cut Tetris DS and let's make a list. So, our list now are our 10, which need to be ordered. Hotel Desk Room 215, The World Ends With You, Pokemon Black, Professor Layton of the Curious Village, Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, Elite Beat Agents, Castlevania Portrait of Ruin, Advance Wars Dual Strike, WarioWare DIY, and Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story.
Excellent. Good list. Powerful list.
That's a strong list.
You want to list these out for us somewhere? In
Yeah, I'll take care of it. Well, I don't know. Who wants to go? I guess we lost track of the order, so... Whoever wants to go can go. And do we have any suggestions about where things should be?
I think that Hotel Dusk should be near the top, honestly. I think that it's a rather fantastic game. It uses the format rather well. It's one of the few cases where an adventure game can have fail states and it doesn't feel too cheap about them. Like, mm-hmm. The main fail states in Hotel Dusk, aside from some pretty action-packed stuff near the end, is whether you're being a total dick to people or not. Whether you're letting... Like, Kyle Hyde's kind of an asshole, but there are moments where you can be too pushy and sort of like a detective in an adventure game, overstep your bounds. And if you do that too many times in specific ways without good reason to be like that, then the owner will be like, get the hell out of my hotel, and... He'll be right about that.
There are times where the dialogue feels kind of weird, especially with the interrupts, because the interrupts usually... There are times when the line he says interrupting somebody is, like, specific, is, like, scripted. But a lot of the times it's genericized. Genericized. And so, like, you'll get situations where you have, like... You hit the interrupt button while someone's talking and he says, got a sec? And then your dialogue option is, don't give me that bullshit. And you're like, that is a jarring tone change. there's some whiplash there. And also, I don't know, I think the stuff with Mila isn't very well handled.
That's fair, yeah. Like, they don't do a great job of portraying that specific sort of, I don't know the right medical term for it.
Her situation.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Yeah, that situation. It's not handled the best. And I guess there is a fatal flaw with it in that the game will totally let you save right after you've entered a fail state and not let you know that it's a fail state until you go down to the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be real fucking frustrating if you're like me and you save a bunch and you accidentally push someone too hard and you just do a little save after that on your only save slot. And then you go downstairs and it's like, oh, I guess I'm fucked now.
So I would like this right about the middle.
Okay. That feels right to me.
Okay.
Pokemon Black should be lower on the list.
Yeah.
It made the list. I'm happy about that, but you can bump it as low as you need to.
Let's put it at 10 for now. I don't think it deserves to be at 10, personally,
okay.
Honestly.
I'm okay putting WarioWare at 10.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I agree. Okay, great.
Give it 9 and give WarioWare 10, then.
I already had to do a last minute, okay, no, wait, cut this instead. I need WarioWare on here, so yeah. I'm okay with it being at the bottom of this list.
Mm-hmm. Bowser's Inside Story, like, this is just, like, you know, copy and pasting, so a lot of the list is just, the order is just kind of a mess. It's, right now it's at number 3, it should not be at number 3.
Yeah.
I could see it at, like, 7.
Beneath the Leapid Agents, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Castlevania early. Portrait of Ruin above or below Elite Beat Agents, though? I haven't played those Castlevania games.
Okay, here's what I say. Let's do WarioWare 10, Pokemon Black 8, Mario and Luigi, Pokemon Black 9, Mario and Luigi 8, Castlevania 7.
Okay.
Is that the one with Soma Cruz?
No, that's Dawn of Sorrow. This is the one with Charlotte and Jonathan. It's the two character one.
Oh, okay.
Soma.
It's one of the paintings that you enter.
Is Advance Wars too high?
I mean, right now things are just shuffling around. The only ones that are, like, I think are like 5 and down actually have an order. The other ones are just sort of there because we're moving things
sure,
around.
Sure, but so I think Advance Wars should be get into that bottom then.
No.
Okay.
I could see Professor Layton going lower.
Wait, really?
The stuff you told me about Professor Layton and Curious Philip sounds incredible.
It's a great game.
I didn't tell you literally anything.
Huh.
We haven't talked about it on this podcast.
I see.
It's a great game with a delightful story, and the style is great.
And the puzzles get kind of fucking annoying.
True. Yeah, there is a point where you're eventually like, okay, I'm trying to get through the story here, and you're giving me a highlights puzzle, and
you have situations where like fucking Luke's like, Professor, I need to use the bathroom, and you're like, okay, let's stop at this gas station, and you're at the gas station, and the dude's like, oh, if you want the key to the bathroom, no problem, it's a combination lock, and the solution is the number when a train leaving from Frankfurt, and you're like, shut the fuck up. I hate you.
Yeah, one of the few good Penny Arcade comics is where he's Layton is asking him to lower the drawbridge, and he's like, I have matchstick, and he goes, fuck your matchsticks. Just lower the bridge.
Please. No more matchsticks.
Yeah, though the ending of Professor Layton and the Curious Village is really heartfelt and special.
Yeah, it has good twists.
I would put it below Hotel Dusk, I guess, is where I'm at.
I see that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, too. Another cool thing about Hotel Dusk is it's one of the few games that is rotoscoped, and that always has a near and dear place on my heart, because rotoscope is so beautiful when they handle it well, and that game handles it very well.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, our list is Ghost Trick Phantom Detective at 1, The World Ends With You at 2, Advance Wars Dual Strike at 3, Hotel Dusk at 4, Layton and the Curious Village at 5, Elite Beat Agents at 6, Castlevania Portrait Ruin at 7, Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story at 8, Pokemon Black at 9, Warrior DOI at 10, Flip, The World Ends With You, and Ghost Trick, and we can go home.
Really? Okay. No, yeah, okay.
I... I don't know enough about The World Ends With You. It does seem real
The World Ends With You is a two-screen action RPG that takes place when our main character dies. Our main character dies and wakes up in sort of like a purgatory afterlife where they are forced to play...
A nonary game of sorts.
I'm just kidding. Kinda. They are forced to play a game called the Reaper's Game, where basically there are these figures who are in control of it, and they're like, hey, just do what we tell you, or you're going to get erased. You're going to get sent, you know, you're going to be sent to the void. And basically, it is a way of testing whether or not these people deserve to, you know, come back to life, though, of course, that isn't explicitly stated to them. It's got an incredible sense of style. It's a game where, like, the combat's really fun. You get, like, various, like pins, like, you know, like chest pins, right? The little, like metal things you put on your chest, and they give you superpowers where you can have, like, telekinesis or, like, shoot ice and all sorts of shit. You get a bunch of, like, different partners you play with. There's some really cool, like, visual style and, like, graffiti stuff. And then you get power based on fashion to a point where it's, like, depending on the district you're in and the, like, the where you are in the story, different brands will be hot. And wearing that brand will literally make you stronger because you're being fashionable. Also... none of the clothing is gender locked. It's just that if you are the opposite gender, there's a level of bravery you need, but then it gives you really great stats. So like the main character Neku can absolutely wear a dress. He just needs to be a little brave about it, but then he'll get killer stats from it. The story is good. The characters are great. It's a fantastic game.
Yeah, it's something I've been meaning to play, especially since it came out on Switch recently. So.
The Switch version is bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, basically every port has like a different thing that's bad about it, weirdly.
Yeah, if you can find a way to play it on DS, that's the way to play it.
I'm always bummed when I hear about this, because I just imagine the alternate universe where I also got way into The World Ends With You instead of the teenager tries to escape the city of Japan, or a city in Japan, which I ended up playing Devil Survivor instead. I fucked up real bad.
I hate Devil Survivor so much. The game's so fucking...
You stole my childhood from me.
It's the hardest... It might be the hardest game I've ever played. The hardest RPG I've ever played.
It's really hard.
Yeah. It's, like, comical.
Did they make the 3DS one any easier? Or...
is that one a remake or a sequel?
There's Overclocked is a remake.
Okay. I wonder, because I feel like I remember my friend telling me they just added more stuff to it and, like, difficulty, but I don't know.
Huh, okay. Yeah, I'm okay with The World Ends With You taking the top. It is pretty funny how you could just continuously feed Neku cordyceps until he can wear dresses. And, yeah. Being like, okay, you need to be brave to wear... gender non-conforming clothing is like, okay, yeah, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, and yeah, there's great stuff with, like, you go around, you eat, you know, food for XP. You can adjust the difficulty, like, on there's just, like, if you open it up, it was one of the first games that I know of to do this, where just if you hit pause, there's a thing to be like, here are two sliders, here is how hard do you want the encounters to be, this is how often do you want them to happen, do you want to just turn off random encounters, sure, no problem. Do you want to make it so that they're, like, 9 levels above you, but you get a bunch of bonus XP and items? Sure, go for it. That was really cool.
Does that also affect the difficulty of the bosses?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like... it's kind of like the situation in Bravely Default, where you can totally just break the game for yourself by underleveling yourself because you turn off random encounters.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can just back out and pick some fights if you need experience, you know.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good.
And unlike Bravely Default, the combat's really fun, so... I played a ton of Bravely Default, I get to say that.
Yeah, it didn't really click with me when I played it.
Okay, so, is there any other changes we need to make? Are there?
I don't think any other changes. We made a list.
Yeah, I think this list is pretty good. Like, I feel like we've touched more or less all the stuff we could touch. I do wish that I did have more experience with DS games so I could be more vocal one way or the other towards some of these.
A year from now, we're all going to be big fans of Pokemon Conquest.
If I wanted to be a jerk, I could be like, oh, 06, what about Advanced Wars Days of Ruin? And then you'd get big. Yeah, you'd get annoyed at me. But
it's bad. It's a bad game.
Yeah, what if we made this game that's super light and made it real edgy and dark? Isn't that fun?
And also took out all the fun mechanics and just made it like, oh no, look, it's like Advanced Wars, but war is hell. And you're like, I
hate
go to hell.
I'm so happy we got Elite Beat Agents on this list. I didn't need it to be any higher than it is. It's where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Well, Alan, why don't you read our list from 10 to 1 for us?
Okay. Somebody just... Oh, Groovy left.
That is Groovy.
Number 10, WarioWare DIY. Number 9, Pokemon Black. Number 8, Mario & Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story. Number 7, Castlevania, Portrait of Ruin. Number 6, Elite Beat Agents. Number 5, Professor Layton and the Curious Village. Number 4, Hotel Dusk, Room 215. Number 3, Advance Wars, Dual Strike. Number 2, Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. And the number 1 Nintendo DS game, according to this podcast, is The World Ends With You. What a season.
All right, yeah, what a season. Derek, it's been an honor casting these games with you. Mm-hmm. Shame that our team didn't go all the way this year, but I think next year's looking bright. And sports.
You literally watch sports. You don't get to make jokes about being like sports ball.
I had such a great seat at the Angels.
You were
game.
Just at an Angels game.
It was such a good seat. I'll never get a seat like that again.
I'm happy for you.
It was incredible.
We're gonna do a podcast the next time the World Cup happens. I'm gonna get you into soccer too.
It's soccer. I watched the Women's World Cup. It was cool.
That's fair.
But I think that's it for here. Next time, you know what? Next time, Jen, you can pick the console or generation we're doing.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
The generation, because her name's Jen.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just only games that came out the year of Jen's birth. Uh-huh.
To be fair, there are some heavy hitters in that year, but yeah.
Like what? Fucking Transformers for the Amiga? Old Lady? Hag?
Donkey Kong Country, Doom 2, Super Metroid. My year was great. Earthbound, Earthworm Jim. Man.
Did you say Earthworm Jim as part of one of the... Okay, Lady Dan.
Yeah. See ya, folks.
Yeah, you could plug things if you want.
All right, I'm at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff's on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. And we're going to be doing a podcast on 80 Days in a few weeks, so that'll be fun.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Speaking of good visual novels. Spoilers, yeah, I love that game.
It's very good. Alan.
I'm going to go non-traditional this time, and I'm instead going to say listen to the Johto Quorum, where Six and I make a better Pokemon list, and where I now get to actually... That's where I actually get to argue that Gen 5 is the best Gen. Gen Uncle's the best.
How's
Gen.
That going
Gen 5
so far?
Is the second best Gen.
We had a Pokedex started out strong, and then hit a real snag.
And then
hit
it
a
just
real...
went really bad.
We hit a real rough patch there, didn't we?
I'm so sorry to P-Duff. No, yeah, so check that out. Check out all of Six's podcasts. Check out Neutral Game. Check out Bottle Crow Reborn. Check out, I don't know, what the fuck else are you on? Romance of the Two Networks. Six.mar and company. All good people.
Well, thank you. And if you want to offer feedback, if you want to be like, hey, you forgot the best DS game.
Meteos.
You know, I didn't play Meteos. I wish I could have added it to the list, but I've never played Meteos.
There's another one that I always saw in the store for like $2, and I was like, this is clearly too cheap to be good, and I must have been wrong, I bet.
Yeah, people say Meteos was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, you got questions, you got feedback, you got comments, at SixDetmar on Twitter, SIXDETTMAR, and otherwise you already know where my shit is. But you know, also Alan plug me, you know, check out Chat's pod.
Yeah.
Check out that do the Babylon 5, uh-huh. and also go into that archive, get yourself some Avatar Last Airbender. Uh-huh. I almost said Enderbender.
Enderbender.
Which is interesting. get yourself some chats room where they're talking about the newsroom. The probably the strongest season because I like listening to people be unhappy.
We have gone more than one listener be like, I like that you guys are enjoying your show, but what if you watched another bad show? And I'm like, why are you like this?
See, this is the difference between most podcasters and me, is if someone's like, you should suffer for your art, you're like, I'm like, you're right.
I guess I should.
I probably should be suffering. But yeah, check that out. Good show. Good stuff.
Yeah.
And also, you know what? Dive into the backlog of Fireside Friends, a show that's now off the air, but there's some great stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
But until next time, folks, peace out.
See ya.
Don't stop. DS, get it? Don't. Derek's
don't starve.
Shorts. Don't starve. They never made a don't starve for the DS. Anyways, bye.